The floor is yours, Rick. Thank you.
I'm a grateful recovering addict. My name is Rick C. Thank God, man, for Narcotics Anonymous. Hey, Melly. Thank God for another day clean. I want to thank you guys. I believe it's the, is it the VBORG online group? Thank you guys for inviting me out to share my experience, strength, and hope. Thank you, Millie. And I want to say welcome to anybody that's new. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. Welcome home. You never have to use it anymore. I need to let you know that we have a message in Narcotics Anonymous. And that message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. No addict needs to die from the horrors of addiction. So I'm tripping right now, right? Like, I'm in Denmark, man. Like, what the fuck? And so, you know, it's funny, like, you guys are, you know, you talking in your native tongue, and that reading was, I believe it was Why Are We Here? Was it Why Are We Here? No, what was it? It wasn't Why Are We Here.
It was the chapter 5. Normally we don't use it.
Oh, how it works. No? All right. Anyway, right. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you guys read and I'm like, okay. But while you're reading, even though I don't understand the words, there's a certain feeling whenever Narcotics Anonymous language or whatever is being read or spoken. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm kind of like weird and crazy and funny. And I'm like, I don't understand what they reading. But I bet if we were somewhere and you had what I needed to get high, I bet we find a way to communicate. And so, and you know, it's a good thing that Narcotics Anonymous, like, I don't have to really understand what was on that reading to know who you are. You don't have to understand what's on that reading to know who I am and what I've been through, because what I come to find out is that the fear and the pain and the shame and the guilt and all of that stuff, no matter what language I speak, no matter what language we speak, is the same. And so I'm just so glad to be here. I'm trying to talk slower than I normally would talk, you know, because I'm one of them dudes that'll get excited and I get on a roll and I start saying some stuff and I'll be speaking in a language that I don't even understand sometimes, right? Because and so what we want to do right now is carry a message where as many people can receive this message as possible. So y'all just bear with me a little bit, right? I need to let you know that when I got here, when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, after multiple years of abusing drugs, after running from my fears and my feelings my entire life, when I got here in so much pain, man, I'm talking about that pain at the end of the road, talking about that pain that the drugs no longer seem to take away. I'm talking about that pain that no matter what I did, no matter what I tried, no matter the mixtures of behavior and drugs and lie and denial and all of that stuff, I could no longer escape that pain. And my only choices were find a new way to live or die. That's how I was when I got here. But I didn't know. I didn't know what was wrong with me when I got here. I didn't know that there was a series of events throughout my entire life that led me to that place of desperation that had me knocking on the door of Narcotics Anonymous. Actually, I didn't knock on the door of Narcotics. It ain't like I sought Narcotics Anonymous out. I was just so messed up and so hurt and so all of that stuff till someone pointed this place out to me. And so I thought when I got here that I thought it was the drugs. I mean, I knew it was the drugs, right? But I thought it was only the drugs. So I didn't know. I didn't know that I had, I didn't know that I suffered from the disease of addiction. I had no idea what the disease of addiction was. And so when I got here, I just didn't know, y'all. And I'm putting an emphasis on me not knowing, because when I don't know what I don't know, I fuck around and think I know some shit. You feel me? And so what happened is I didn't know what I didn't know when I got here. So I thought I knew how to recover. I thought if I could just put the drugs down, because it was the drugs. If I could just stop using whatever it was I was using, and at the end of the road, it really didn't matter. Whatever I thought was going to work for the moment is what I was willing to take. And so when I got here, man, I had acquired some skills on my way here. I had acquired some skills that will prevent me from recovering. These skills allow me to survive in this altered state of reality that I dwelled in before I got here. But once I got here, these skills, like lying and cheating and manipulating and denial and all of that stuff, right, has no place for me in recovery. But when I got here, I was so used to practicing all those things that I couldn't just turn it off. I had no concept of what honesty was, because I had been in that state of denial and I had been lying to myself for so long in order to avoid the pain of everyday living. Till when I got here, I just couldn't turn it off. So when I got here, there were some things that you guys were suggesting that I do that I didn't know it was necessary for me to do. And so I started listening. And another one of those skills that I developed on my way here, which allowed me to survive out there, right, was acting as if. Depending on the situation I was in, I was acting just like y'all in order to get one more. So if it was out on the streets and we was doing whatever was being done on the streets, I was that dude. If it was in the classroom and I had to fit in the classroom, I was that dude. If it was on the job and I had to fit in on the job, I was that guy. I became whoever you needed me to be in order for me to reach my ultimate goal of getting one more. All the time, never realizing that I had no idea who I really was. I became whatever I needed to become in order for you guys not to see me the way I felt about myself. And so I got here with all of that stuff, all of that confusion. I didn't know how to live with or without drugs. I didn't know how to recover. I believed what was going on in my head. And I started listening to some stories of the people in Narcotics Anonymous. Now, I suffer from the disease of addiction, right? The disease of addiction has three components. It has a mental component in its obsession. It has a physical component in its compulsion. And it has a spiritual component in its total self-centeredness. Mind you, I don't know none of this when I get here, right? I just believe the crazy stuff that's going on in my head. And so when I start listening, right, when I start listening, you guys, some of you guys were talking about some stuff that I didn't experience, right? So, and when I heard these differences, I suffer from a disease that don't want me to see the truth. So when I heard these differences, the disease of addiction, which is centered in my thinking, allowed me to key in on the differences. And it wouldn't allow me to see the similarities. And that's not how we recover around here. And so when I heard people talking about horrendous childhoods, when I heard people talking about being raped and physically and sexually abused and all of that stuff, well, that's just not my story. And if that is your story, that's quite okay because you can recover too. But what I'm talking about is that wasn't my story. And because it wasn't my story and one of my key issues is fitting in, I got a disease that's centered in my thinking that'll tell me I don't even belong here. I need to let you know that that's a lie. Whatever you've been through, whatever you've gone through, whatever landed you on the doors to Narcotics Anonymous, you've been through enough. I promise you, your story don't have to get no worse. It doesn't, there's not a dedicated bottom, a dedicated pain. All you have to do is have enough pain to get here. And our inability to control drugs is one of the common denominators, y'all, that we all have in common. And so, man, I got here, man, and I just didn't know. I just didn't know. All I wanted to do was fit in. All I wanted to do was feel like I was loved, right? And so what happened is when I got here, I actually stopped getting high. And because I stopped using, some weird stuff started happening to me. Like I started gaining weight. Right? Now, I hadn't gained weight in quite some time. You feel me? I got here sucked up like we all do. And so I don't know what it takes to recover. So I think by me gaining weight, I'm recovering. I start eating on a regular basis. I wasn't eating on a regular basis when I got here. So when I started gaining weight and eating on a regular basis and my skin started clearing up and I started bathing on a regular basis and all of this stuff, I even started to like have some money from yesterday to today. You feel me? When all of this stuff started happening, me not knowing the principle of honesty, me not knowing the principle of being open-minded, when all of this stuff started happening and I wasn't getting high, I'm thinking I'm in recovery. I didn't know that just because I'm not using don't mean I'm in the process of recovery. I didn't know that. I already suffer from not being the same as anything and everybody. I already suffer from that. And so I thought that the things you guys had to do to recover, I didn't really have to do, right? Because I was gaining weight. I had a couple dollars in my pocket. I wasn't hungry no more. And I wasn't stinking no more. I must be recovered. What I'm talking about, y'all, as I just said, is the disease is centered in my thinking. I didn't know that. And so I have a problem with everyday living, right? Like, it's just something about my thinking that's just self-destructive. It's just something inside of me. The literature even calls it something. We're not even quite sure what it is that cries out for failure. I had no experience living life on life terms, right? I had no experience making good decisions, but I wasn't getting high, right? And so I was recovering. And so what happened was I continued to not get high, but I also continued to make self-destructive decisions. After I got here, you guys said something about we make an honest living in Narcotics Anonymous, right? Like, motherfucker, you gotta get a job. And so I hadn't had a job in so long till I'm like, what the hell, right? But in order for me to continue, I'm acting as if now. Remember, I ain't turned that off. I did that my whole life before I got here. I don't know this is what I'm doing, but this is what I'm doing. So in order for me to make y'all think, in order for me to think that y'all think I fit in, I got to do some of this stuff y'all saying do, right? And so I got here and I got a job and all that stuff. And I started noticing you guys walking around with literature, Narcotics Anonymous literature, and y'all talking about we go to meetings and we get a sponsor and we work steps and we get in the service and we do all of this stuff, right? Remind you now, my thinking is still corrupted. My thinking is still not right. Our literature says we must completely change our old ways of thinking or we will go back to using, right? It didn't say using drugs, because I can use people, places, things, situations. I can use money, I can use sex, I can use food, I can use lying, I can use manipulation, I can use a whole lot of stuff and be caught up in the grip of the disease of addiction and ain't even took a drug. But I don't know this when I got here. So I'm continuing to act as if, but I'm not recovering, right? Recovery is an active change in my ideas and my attitudes. That's what our literature say. The only way my ideas and my attitudes is gonna change is that my thinking changed, right? But I'm not in the process of having my thinking change. I'm still running off old solutions. But it's so important that y'all don't see me as I see myself, that I continued this facade that I didn't even know I was continuing. So I act like I had a sponsor. I act like I remembered a couple of lines out the literature, right? So when I can come to these meetings, I can sound like a recovering addict. The same thing I was doing out there. I was sounding like a Black boy. I was sounding like a good employee. I was sounding like a good mate. I was sounding like a good friend. And the end result was always, there was always an ulterior motive to everything I did. It was designed to get whatever it was I wanted. And that's who I was when I got here. And even though I stopped using, that's who I still was when I got here. The most, like we talk about being honest, open-minded, and willing. Our literature says these principles are indispensable, which means I can't recover without those. So I'm in here, dishonest, closed-minded, and not willing to let y'all know who I am. So of course I'm not recovering, but I think I am. And so what happened is life's starting to show up. And again, because my thinking hasn't changed, I continue to react to situations in life with this self-serving solution. Usually it ends up being self-destructive. And so even though I hadn't got high in a number of years, y'all, when I lost that job, right? Now I come from a place like we was hella poor growing up. And in my mind, if I had some money, that'd be the solution to everything going on with me. You feel me? Like when you ain't got no money, all you want is some money, man. And so I grew up with the belief that if you got money, you accept it. If you got some stuff, you accept it. We know now that money, property, and prestige can divert us from our primary purpose. I didn't know that though, y'all. And so no matter what, if I had some money, you know what I mean? Maybe I could put the front on good enough or whatever. And so when I lost that job, after having accumulated a couple of things, when I lost that job, I felt like y'all was gonna finally see me as I saw myself. I'm talking self-esteem is well below zero, right? Based on the stuff that I've been through before I got here. And so when I lost that job and I had no income, right, I had to do whatever it took for me to get some money. And so at this time, I'm three, four, five years of not using, but I still ain't honestly working a program. I started selling drugs. And I sold drugs for a few years. I ended up with a lot of money. It's funny how when we talk about this disease of addiction, man, and we talk about how patient the disease is, right? We talk about how patient it is. I didn't know that since day one that I stepped through the door, the disease was setting me up all the time. The disease was setting me up. It had me thinking I didn't have to do what we do. It had me thinking all that stuff didn't apply to me. It had me thinking all that stuff I thought before I got here. It had me thinking that that solution ain't my solution, right? And I need to let you know, we only recover one way in Narcotics Anonymous, and that's the Narcotics Anonymous way. So I started selling drugs, y'all. Now the disease say, hey, look, man, you know you're selling drugs. You can't go back around them people, right? It want me isolated, right? It want me away from the ultimate weapon, which is another recovering addict, right? And the disease said, you can't go back to the meetings doing what you're doing. What I need to let you know, y'all, is that we don't really give a fuck what you do when you leave the meeting. I mean, we care about you and all of that stuff we do. And we, of course, we don't want you to bring anything into our meetings, anything illegal. But if that's what you're doing, we need you to please keep coming back. Because what I found out is that once I get honest and once I start working the steps, that sleazy stuff ain't gonna have no way in my life no more. It just won't work. It won't feel good. God will remove that from me, right? But I didn't know it at that time. And again, I'm listening to the disease. So I started selling drugs and I stopped going to meetings. So y'all already know when we stopped going to meetings, what happened, right? So now I'm living this life as a drug dealer, right? But if you was to see me somewhere, I swear up and down, I'm still in the process of recovery because I have not gotten high. I have not gotten high. I didn't know what recovery was, y'all. And so it's funny how like when we come here, we in God's grace, and God has a plan for anybody that make it to the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous, right? It's a lot of us that don't make it, but I don't know. See, when I walked through the door, I had this doubt way back here, like it just had to get shattered that I thought I could do some stuff my way. I was still trying to be in control. So I'm living this life as a drug dealer. If I see one of y'all, I'm swearing up and down I'm in recovery, right? And I just really don't know what I'm doing. And so what happened was, a life of a drug dealer is not a very safe life, right? And so I started experiencing some consequences that happen when I'm involved and stuff like that. Like people that in the process of recovery don't sell drugs. That's not what we do. People in the process of recovery don't hang out in drug spots. People that's in the process of recovery don't hang out in drug houses and all of that stuff that come with it. But here's the, I cannot come into a spiritual program and practice unspiritual principles and think God is gonna bless me. That don't work. But what he will do is tap me on my ass and be like, bruh, what you gonna do? Right. And so what happened is I started to get some of these consequences, like going to jail, like getting robbed. Right. Now I'm still creating harm and havoc because there's a bunch of collateral damage that's going on around me. I'm getting home invaded, but I ain't there but my son there. These dudes coming in with masks and guns, right? Like, this is the shit that happens to people when they're out there running amok, getting loaded and all of this stuff, right? This stuff is happening to me and I'm not even high. Police running my house a few times. God is sending me all these signals. What you doing ain't working. You need to come back home. But see, and I need to let you know, it don't have to be selling drugs for you. It could be gambling. It could be sex. It could be whatever it is. It don't have to be selling drugs, y'all. Please don't get so caught up on the dynamics that you miss where I'm going, right? That you miss the thinking, that you miss the feeling, right? Don't get caught up on the dynamic. For me, it was selling drugs. For you, it might be anything. It could be scratch-off tickets. It could be whatever. And so, you know, my dog got kicked in by the police, all of this stuff, right? That still ain't enough, right? And so here it is. I'm about, I don't know, 5-6 years, not taking nothing at the time. Oh, I got shot up too, clean. Never got shot up all the years that I was in active addiction and all the stuff that I did, I never got shot. But once I got clean and started, right, man, God is something else, man. You're talking about God being real. Y'all, I pulled up to the spot, right? Somewhere I ain't got no business being if I'm in recovery. And some dudes pulled up and didn't even know who I was. And there was three of them in the car. And they just start shooting. And they start shooting. And I start praying. That's all I can do is pray. And I'm sitting in my car. And they right here. And when they start shooting, I try to get out the passenger door, but I'm in my seatbelt. So I'm stuck. And the next thing I thought was to lay down in the back seat, right? And so I'm up and I'm twisted, I'm stuck, and them dudes just shoot, man. And I hear all this noise and I hear the glass breaking. And every now and then I feel a bullet hit me, right? And every now and then I feel a bullet hit me. And these dudes are shooting, right? And I'm praying, right? That God that y'all told me about when I first walked through the door, right? That God that I was hesitant about following his lead, right? I was calling on him, man. And it's funny, man, how God will protect his people. It's funny, like in the midst of all that noise and the bullets that I'm hearing, all that stuff, it's like a peace, a peace came over me, this calmness. Like I knew I was gonna be okay. Like something was like, it's not your time, but you need to listen. And so when all the dust cleared, I had 39 bullet holes in my car. I had 6 bullets in me. I crawled out the passenger side and I called 911 and they airlift me to the hospital. And so, now, I'm a drug dealer. I ain't got no job, right? So I don't have no medical insurance. And when they found out I had no medical insurance, this was a Wednesday night. Friday night, they kicked me out the hospital, man. You get up out of here. You can't pay for this stay. And it wasn't nothing but the grace of God, you guys, that allowed me to really still be alive. But I'm talking about the power of the disease of addiction. You would think that that would be enough. You would think that that would be enough, but it wasn't. And I continued this life. Now, I already told you that the police done kicked my door in and all of this stuff. All I'm talking about is the things that happen when I'm living this unspiritual life, right? Pretending to be in a spiritual program, right? That's all I'm talking about. And so I end up going to prison. Clean. I end up going to prison. You would think that that might be enough. I'm talking about caught up in the grip of the disease of addiction, and I ain't been loaded in 7-8 years. Recovery is an active change in my ideas and my attitude. Only then will my behavior change. I got out of prison, didn't get high in prison, got out of prison. You would think that might be enough. It still wasn't enough. 2 days out of prison, I resumed normal activities of selling drugs. Because I had to shatter my old way of thinking. My old way of thinking said if I didn't have nothing, I wasn't nothing. And I was willing to put everything at risk to to have something because I had to show y'all that I was somebody. I didn't know nothing about this person on the inside. I had checked out from him a long time ago. So I started selling drugs. And God said, I know what to do. I started back selling drugs. And God said, I know what to do. I done sent the robbers at him. I done sent the home invaders at him. I done sent the police at him. I done sent prison at him. I done sent the bullets at him. And he still don't want to surrender? I know what to do. And I took one. I got high. This had to get high, it's over, right? It's over. And so 15 months later, the whole empire was gone, right? Everything gone. I'm stripped of everything. And that incredible feeling of desperation has returned. And I decided to check myself back in treatment. Open to all suggestions, right? What I'm talking about is God allowed me to have my journey. Because I believed what was going on up here. You couldn't tell me that I couldn't navigate through this program because I had navigated through stuff my entire life. It was hard to break that cycle of thinking. And so I came back after exhausting all of the possibilities, and I was open to how Narcotics Anonymous works. And I got introduced to sponsorship. Really for the first time. Yeah, I had a dude I called my sponsor, but never called him, never did no work. But I got introduced to sponsorship. And in sponsorship, I got introduced to the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. And my journey through the steps is what has allowed me to change, has allowed that spiritual metamorphosis that I need in order to recover. And so what I found out is that in order for me to recover, see, when I got here, I thought I was trying to recover from the pain, the shame, the guilt, and all of that stuff of the things I did trying to get one more. I was so consumed with self-centered shame and guilt, I thought that that's what I needed to recover from. That's not what I needed to recover from, though, right? I needed to forgive myself of the stuff that I did. But what I needed to recover from is the things that led me to the dope in the first place, right? What led me to the dope? What made me feel that being me wasn't enough? So in order for me to recover, the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous took me way back. It had to take me back to before the drugs. See, I was recovering from a hopeless state of the way I felt about me. All that other stuff was just a magnification of me not loving me. Of me thinking that no matter how good I'm doing in life, I got something up here that'll tell me I ain't shit, I ain't worth shit, everybody got it better than you, you got to change what you do, what you feel, what you think, you got to change all that just to have an even playing field. And so what happened was I was able to go back to the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, y'all, and see some things that happened in my childhood that shattered my little young spirit. You see, as a kid, right? And like I say, a lot of physically traumatic stuff didn't happen to me. But what happened to me was enough to shatter my spirit, right? I never felt equal. I never felt like I belonged. I come from a huge family. I'm the youngest of 7 kids. I got 4 older brothers, and I always felt different. I always felt like I wasn't enough. Always. And that feeling is what drove my entire life. never feeling equal, never feeling enough, always feeling less than. So I always had to do, say, think, behave, create some stuff in order for you guys, in my head, for you guys to see me as an equal. And that belief system, right? That belief system from a kid and not having the system in place, like as a kid, there should be a system in place, primarily those that are responsible for my well-being, to nurture my spirit. So when my emotions and my spirit get off track, right? My mom or whoever is responsible was supposed to nurture me back on track. Because as a kid, I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand why everybody else had a dad, but I didn't. I didn't understand why they would call me the names that they called me. I didn't understand that, right? But I didn't have the system to nurture my spirit. And as a kid, the only conclusion I could come to is that something is wrong with me. And I suffered from the something wrong with me syndrome throughout my whole life. In a nutshell, that's what it was, y'all. And I believed it. And I set out on various beliefs and behaviors to prove to y'all that wasn't nothing wrong with me, that I was just like y'all. And when I found the dope, I was out of control. So I got here and I didn't know none of that. And I started my journey through the 12 Steps of Narcotics Anonymous, man. And the 12 Steps of Narcotics Anonymous has introduced me to who I really am. You know, introduced me that I not only am I powerless over the drugs, I knew it was the drugs, but I didn't know it was everything else, right? Not only am I powerless over the drugs, but I'm powerless over my entire life, right? I didn't know that, y'all. I didn't know that I had to incorporate some spiritual principles in my everyday living, right? I didn't know any of that stuff when I got here. And the 12 Steps of Narcotics Anonymous has allowed me to see all of that stuff. It allowed me to become who I truly am. It allowed me to forgive me, right? Like when I got to the fourth step, right? And I'm on like my third, fourth step right now, some stuff like that, right? But when I got to the fourth step, it says the purpose of the fourth step is to sort through the contradiction and confusion of our life, right? And so I remember when I first did the fourth step, and I'm gonna run through this right quick because I want to hear from some of you guys. But when I first did the fourth step, right? Okay, like I admitted I'm powerless, right? And because I admitted I'm powerless, it left a vacuum because I thought I had some power because I tried to control all my life. That's the vacuum that they talk about, the void they talk about in the second step, right? Now, if I tried to be powerless my entire life. I mean, I tried to have the power my entire life. I tried to control, right? Now, when I finally find out I can't control, this is why the second step is so important. If I ain't in control, I need to grab a hold to some higher power that has control, right? And it talks about if we go over this step with a minimum of concern, the rest of the steps may not work for me. I have to truly understand and believe that I need to submit to a power that can take care of my life. And so in the third step, I made the decision, right, to turn my will over to that power, right? I didn't know how to do it, but I made a decision that I was going to keep trying on a daily basis. And then I got to the fourth step, right? And I thought the fourth step was a recounting of all the scandalous stuff I had done. Because this is a lot of what I heard from the fourth step, right? But what I'm talking about is that's not really what it is. Yeah, you get in touch with some of the stuff you've done. That's not the purpose of it, though. The purpose of it, as I said, and it says in the literature, is to sort through the contradiction and the confusion of my life. But the reason why it's so important, the fourth step says a fearless and moral inventory. Key word is moral. And the reason why that's what's important is because after we get through the fourth step and we get to the fifth step, we talk about it. My sponsor points out my character defects. The fourth step is a character defect enlightening step. That's what it is. That's why all them questions, they talk about a little bit about what you did, but they ask you, why did you do it? What was you thinking? How was you feeling? They trying to get to what was going on up here. And the reason why it's so important, because we get to the sixth step talking about the character defects, right? With the character defects, character is mental or moral qualities that are distinct to an individual. This is what we're trying to get at. That's why in the fourth step, they're asking for a moral inventory, not a physical inventory, a moral inventory. What are you thinking that makes you think behaving and doing this is okay? And so we get to the seventh step and we ask God to remove these defects of character, right? To remove the, now we've identified what I operate on. Remember, my character is my mental or moral qualities that are distinct to an individual. And because the disease of addiction is centered in my thinking, this is why all of this has to come. This is why the steps are in order. And when I figured all that out, I wasn't as afraid of the fourth step as I used to be. Because they don't really give a damn about me robbing 1,700 people. They want to know what was my thinking process, because that's what I need to change. And I got to the eighth step and I made a list of some people that I had harmed, right? And then I became willing to make amends to them all. And what I needed to do with first thing I had to go on my list was me, because I harmed myself more than anybody, y'all. I tortured myself from the time I was about 6 years old. But of course, I didn't know any of that, right? And sponsor just pointed a whole lot of stuff out to me, man. You know, and I was able to get some relief. I was able to get a whole lot of relief through working the steps, right? And the 10th step, which is so, so, so important, right? The 10th steps allows me to erase my mistakes of the day. Because see, what happened is, and it talks about it in the 10th step, what happens is once I get some relief, I have a tendency of hitting the brakes. But I can slide right back into old thinking and old behavior. So it's important for me to check in, not only with me, but other recovering addicts pretty much on a daily basis, man. You know what I mean? And the 11th step actually talks about that prayer and meditation, right? And I found a little nice little excerpt in the 11th step that is just so beautiful, man. It talks about how the 10th step clears away the errors of the present so we can work the 11th step. And it says, without this step, it is unlikely that we could experience a spiritual awakening, practice spiritual principles in our lives, or carry a sufficient message. Without the 11th step, the literature says it's unlikely that I can do that sufficiently. I might be thinking I am, but it's so easy for me to have that self-centered motive. Oh, I need to look good. Oh, I need to sound good. Oh, I need them to see me like that. Right? It's so easy, right? That's why the 10th and 11th step is so important. And again, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, Narcotics Anonymous steps, then I can carry the message to the still suffering addict, man, and try to practice the principles in all my affairs. And what I've done, y'all, in a nutshell, the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous has finally introduced me to a place called peace. Like when all the noise stop, I see you, Nikolai, when all the noise stop, man, and I am free to enjoy the moment. I ain't never been free to enjoy the moment. Y'all, I'm sorry I took up so much time, man. Look, if you knew, please keep coming back. I'm a grateful recovering addict. My name is Rick C. Any addict can stop using drugs, lose desire to use, and find a new way to live. Thank you guys for letting me share.